This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Wow. Get me while my defenses are down there, Bill, playing Chopin right off the bat.
Dirty trick. And what a beautiful performance. The Nocturne in D-flat major is played by one of our old pals, this marvelous pianist, author, just about everything else, Charles Rosen.
Hi there, and welcome to the B&K Cafe. B is for Bill McLaughlin.
And K is for Karin Allison. Remember meeting Charles in Kansas City? I've been working with him for years because I adored him. So I worked with him in St. Paul, in Tucson, in Eugene. I went to visit him in Paris when I was there with the St. Louis Symphony. I just admired him so much. But then he came to Kansas City after I came to know you. And we took him to dinner one night at the Boulevard Cafe, which he really loved.
Yeah, what's not to love about that restaurant? It was one of the best.
Do you remember as we drove back into town, there were these new structures, some sort of towers just south of town. Do you remember his line? He said, "Karin, what are those sinister towers?"
That was pretty funny.
When we came to New York City, I called up Charles almost right away, and he said, "You must come over for dinner. I want to play for you, and I want to fix something nice to eat."
I do. I remember when he opened the door, and he had the sweater on and a handprint of flour on his chest. And he said, "Come in."
He was a superb cook, but he was a superb pianist first. Mm-hmm. He'd started studying the piano when he was 4 years old, went to Juilliard when he was about six, dropped out of Juilliard at the age of 11 to study with Moritz Rosenthal, who was one of the last pupils of Franz Liszt. And that night, he kept going back and forth between the piano and the kitchen.
Yeah, I remember that. I wondered if he washed his hands between, but who cares? It was his piano, as you say.
But above all, in addition to the wonderful meal, he wanted to play for us a piece of Liszt, which I didn't know. The sonnet after Petrarch is part of the piece called Année de Pèlerinage. Liszt and his lady love are traveling through Europe. They're traveling through Switzerland, and then finally they're in Italy, where he finds a sonnet of Petrarch and decides to make a song of it. And from that, Liszt further constructed a virtuoso piano piece, which he entitled
Sonetto number 104 del Petrarca.
Here's Charles Rosen at the piano.
Thank you.
That is quite a tour de force from Charles Rosen.
Sure is. And Liszt, you know, he's always dramatic. Uh-huh. And then in this piece, he suddenly becomes sentimental. And then, of course, always virtuosic.
Yeah, he can't ever forget that he's the greatest piano player on the face of the earth. Everyone was telling him every day. So he's got to show you that in every piece. Yeah. And even if it's very gentle music, it was going to be a splash of virtuosity. Mm-hmm. That fits Charles Rosen very well. His teacher from the age of 11 was a man named Moritz Rosenthal, who is a pupil of Franz Liszt. That's really gone back some. Rosenthal was born in the 1860s, and Charles could trace his lineage back to Franz Liszt through his teacher.
Wow, that's really amazing.
I love to hang out with him. He was a fount of knowledge about everything and very happy to tell somebody who was happy to sit there and absorb it as I was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of the younger friends that I would bring to meet Charles Rosen, you were the only one he really, really liked a lot. He did.
Go figure. I don't know. Maybe we kind of tried to speak French together. Of course, he was fluent, and I tried to speak with him.
So. But I think he saw something special in you, and he knew how much I liked you, too. So, okay, that's one of the things we were doing in New York City, was looking up people like Charles Rosen. And by this time, you had a Grammy-nominated CD to your credit.
I did. Ballads Remembering the Great John Coltrane. We went into the studio a little bit later and recorded In Blue. We featured on piano Mulgrew Miller, the great Mulgrew Miller, and on bass, the wonderful Peter Washington, once again, Louis Nash on drums, Danny Embry on guitar from Kansas City. So that was our CD In Blue. And this next tune is Bobby Timmons' Moanin'. And this is a lyric written by John Hendricks. And the Soli line, the thing that you're going to hear, the piece of music you'll hear us playing and singing together by the wonderful Laura Caviani. So this is Moanin'.
And Steve Wilson's playing sax. Can we leave him out?
No, I cannot.
This was a song which was so popular. It was a jukebox hit when I was a kid. And the song is Moanin'. And you do a little mooning there at the beginning.
Yeah, I remember talking with Peter about that and Lewis. I said, okay, I'm just going to give you guys a downbeat, and we're going to respond back and forth, and they were right there.
Every morning find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I've seen. Life's a losing gamble to me. Cares and woes have got me moaning. Every evening find me moaning. I'm alone and crying the blues. I am so tired of paying these dues. Everybody knows I'm moaning. Lord, I spend plenty of days and nights alone with my grief. What I pray, really and truly pray, somebody will come and bring me relief. Every morning I find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I've seen. Life's a losing gamble to me. Cares and woes have got me moaning. Thank you. the trouble I've seen. Life's a losing gamble to me. Cares and woes have got me moaning. Lord, I try, really and truly try, to find some relief. Lord, I spend plenty of days and nights alone with my grief. Lord, I pray, really and truly pray, to find some relief.
That counts as an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, it's cathartic when you can play the blues and sing the blues. You don't want to have them, but you sure like to play them.
Bobby Timmons from Philadelphia. I didn't really know that much about him. He had moved to New York by the time I was old enough to know anything about it. He was a member of Art Blakey's band, the Jazz Messengers. And Benny Golson was in that band and said, you know, the thing about Bobby, he was inventive. He could play bebop and he could play funky. He could play a lot of things, and that was the element that Art needed.
Very cool.
Now for a taste of something rather different. What would you like to sing for us?
Well, Bill, you chose this one, and I thank you for choosing this one. This is a beautiful piece that Roberta Flack made, so well known. The first time ever I saw your face, written by Ewan McCall. And this is from our CD, Wild for You, an arrangement written by Gil Goldstein.
First time ever I lay with you. melt your heart so close to mine. I knew that our joy, it would fill the earth and last to the end.
What a great old tune, and what a beautiful arrangement.
I think so, too, and I kudos out to the guitarists, Danny Embry and Rod Fleeman, and I think Paul Smith is on that playing Rhodes, and, of course, Gil Goldstein on piano, Bob Bowman on bass, Todd Strait on drums. I mean, versatility, you know, I love that about players that I work with. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned Bobby Timmons being versatile with bebop and
funk,
yeah, and it's very important because that's what makes live music and recorded music so alive, mm-hmm. is that kind of versatility.
I remember a performance you gave in Minneapolis one time when an old friend of mine dropped by, a fantastic guitarist, 12-string guitarist called Leo Kottke. And the sweetest guy in the world. He sat next to me, and when you started that kind of thing, because you were playing all those parts by yourself at the piano, I said, Bill, that's real left brain, right brain stuff. How does she do that?
Well, I practiced it.
Yeah, the piano coming from part. Him, yeah. Coming from him.
No,
it was,
thanks,
yeah,
Leo.
Sounded lovely.
Yeah. So, Bill, this next one is your piece, and you call it Walt Whitman's Dream. And we did talk about this earlier in the show. It's a huge piece that you were commissioned for.
Yeah, I don't know how I got this, but the National Endowment and the Minnesota Composers Forum got a really bright idea. We were coming up. This was the year 2000. Remember the millennium, all that Y2K stuff. Mm. They said, we think every one of the 50 states should have a brand new piece for the new millennium. They organized this sort of competition. Each state could submit a number of choices, and composers were encouraged to look through and see what they thought they might like to do. Somehow, I don't know, I was still a very young composer at that time, I got one of these grants. Mm. And I was going to write a piece for, catch this, 800 singers. There's a wonderful international choral festival held in Missoula, Montana. It's been running since 1987. Don Carey, great singer, great choral director himself, was inspired by a festival he had attended in Nancy in France. He thought, we could do that in Montana. Every 3 years, we'll get choral singers from all over the world to come to this beautiful place and spend a week together making music.
Wow, so you had 200 sopranos, 200 altos, 200 baritones, and 200...
And about 120 young Chinese tenors. Boys. Because there was a children's choir as well.
Oh, wow.
There were also some kids from Latin America who were children's choir, too. Mm-hmm. So I thought, no, what am I going to write about? So I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to say, how about Paradise Lost? I started reading Milton. Great. Too big. I couldn't get it. And then I finally settled. The great poet that I've been carrying with me on tours for a long time is Walt Whitman. So I made a text out of Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. Although I have to admit, I stole four great lines from Wallace Stevens, writing about Walt Whitman. The very opening of this piece quotes Wallace Stevens. In the far south, the sun of autumn is passing, like Walt Whitman walking along a ruddy shore. He is singing and chanting the things that are part of him, the words that were and will be, death and day. Nothing is final, he chants. No man shall see the end. His beard is of fire, and his staff is a leaping flame. So imagine the scene now. Where do you put such a big chorus?
I don't have to imagine the scene because I was there. This is one of the only times, I think, I've actually performed in a piece that you were conducting. So I was one of those 800 singers.
Yeah.
And it was quite the scene. It was actually pretty organized.
Well, we rehearsed, you know, a basketball palace that held 10,000 people. You got an orchestra of about 150 players and 800 singers. And way back there, I could see this cute girl in the middle of the alto section. Your blouse was a slightly different color than the other folks. I could keep an eye on you. So here we go. I hear America singing. Here is Walt Whitman's Dream.
Thank you.
I love that, Bill. And I remember a lot of your family was there too, so mm-hmm. you're hearing them cheer you on. Great job. I wish you'd compose more often.
Good point. Maybe I'll get back to it. Walt Whitman's dream.
Okay, this next and last song of the show is rather dreamy as well. This is a song written by the wonderful, iconic Marion McPartland with lyrics by Johnny Mercer. And it's called Twilight World.
You had sung on Marion McPartland's show, Piano Jazz, and you got to know her a bit. She was a friend of mine because we had done some orchestra stuff together on some radio.
Mm-hmm. And she was on Concord as well.
Right. But this beautiful tune, every time she had an anniversary, she'd call you and say, Karin, could you come and sing Twilight World?
Mm.
What you're about to hear is a live performance. It was at Marion's 85th birthday, a big party at Birdland Club on 44th Street in New York City. Marion's at the piano, and you're singing.
Right, and so many people showed up for Marion. They always did for her music. People like Phil Woods, James Williams, Dr. Billy Taylor, Clark Terry, Barbara Carroll, Regina Carter, Robbie Coltrane. All these folks are featured on this live tribute to Marion McPartland at Birdland. Birdland is one of my favorite places. It's my musical home in New York City. So this is our live version of Marion McPartland's Twilight World.
This is Marion's tune called Twilight World, and it's lyrics written by Johnny Mercer. Twilight world over China Sea, come sing a melody of ages ago. In a twilight world, watching the sampans pass, I fill a frosty glass as lanterns burn low. Life is a changing panorama. Is a dancing butterfly. Catch them both while we may. Come to Spain or Cathay. I don't want to miss that will-o'-the-wisp passing by. Life is holding out a twilight world. Don't let it slip away. Come take it while we may, and let it begin. Let's have our twilight world before the night sets in. Life is a changing panorama. days are dancing, butterfly, catch them both while we may. Come to Spain or Cathay, I don't want to miss that will-o'-the-wisp passing by. Life is living out a twilight world. Let's don't let it slip away. Come take it while we may, and let it begin. Let's have our twilight world before the night sets in. Before the night sets in.
Karen Allison, ladies and gentlemen.
Happy birthday, Marion McPartland. You are the best.
Miss Karen Allison.
Boy, that's a nice memory.
It is. We miss her.
What a marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Funny woman. Wicked sense of humor. Very, a little dangerous sometimes.
Very dangerous. Backstage, it was really fun being around her.
She wasn't quite the little school marm some people might have imagined. She was she was always incredibly well-mannered, though. You have to give her that.
She's a very elegant woman. Yeah. And to be a woman instrumentalist back in the day was no small feat.
Yeah, Marion McPartland. And I love Johnny Mercer's lyrics. They're so fanciful. Come to Spain or Cathay. Who else could have an image like that?
Watching the sampans pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful kind of old-fashioned idea of China, Cathay.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to write to us and let us know how you like the B&K Cafe or give us suggestions, please write to us at info@karin.com, karrin.com. The B&K Cafe, and B stands for Bill McLaughlin.
And K for Karen Allison. And we're just getting started with this. It's a brand new show. This show actually grew out of the COVID quarantine. When we're sitting at home thinking, you can't go to a jazz club, I can't go to a concert hall. What are we going to do with ourselves?
So we created our own little radio station right here for the B&K Cafe.
And we invite you in. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening. Here's a little parting gift for you, the great guitarist Gene Bertoncini and our friend.
And here Gene is playing his own transcription of Robert Schumann's Träumerei.
It's a real dreamscape.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of B&K Cafe. They are now in New York City, and the next episode will come your way
Friday, November 20th. A very special evening at the Classical Network, as at 8 o'clock on that evening, we hope to have a live performance from our studios of Inside Music with Maestro George Mariner Mall and members of the American Quartet. B&K Cafe is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and WWFM.org.